So before we start on this whole program, can you do me a favor, please, and set your cell phones to stun? And I'm going to call this meeting of the Little County Red River Basin Development Commission for February 2016 to order. If you could all stand up, let's say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, please call a roll.
Here.
Here.
Present.
Here.
Present.
Present. All right, next is going to be the approval of minutes from January 13, 2016. Corrections, modifications, motions, let's say you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion. We approve the minutes from our last meeting of
January 13th, 2016. Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Minutes are there for the man forever. Next, I'm going to open up the nominations for the election of officers for 2016.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make a motion that the following officers be nominated for election for the 2016 calendar year. Chairman William Baker, Vice Chair Tom Wyszlinski, Treasurer Tom Gazdecki, and the Secretary Yvonne Whitburn.
There's nominations for those four offices. Are there any other nominations? Either none. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Either or not, let's vote.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I look forward to keep moving this thing forward. Chairman's report. For those of you who have come and sit in some of these meetings for a while, it's kind of a rewind, but there's a reason. The pictures on the board are from September 28th. They're starting to get a little yellow and starting to show a little bit of age because it's now been a while. But this is one of the things that is a potential when you do not do maintenance to a man-made structure. $275 million. We don't ever want to see something like that again. You are dealing with Mother Nature without a doubt. So if you have a 5-gallon bucket, you get 10 gallons of water, there's going to be an issue. However, I can say with a high level of confidence, we're far better prepared in dealing for some kind of event like that than we were in 2008. A lot of people helped to make sure this thing keeps moving forward. It has to stay in light that while we're here is for a flood control project and to make sure we take care of the infrastructure of the community. And we strive and do, I think, a very yeoman's job of making sure that the community all works together. And Dan does, Mr. Ripe, as executive director, has meetings every month with the communities, continues to make sure that those folks have a say in what happens in their communities. Because for those of us that were around, you remember what it's like when you get that much rain all at one time. There's a lot of things going on, and most of them are not good. So having that game plan and working through those exercises prior to, the bell going off, is critical. So for everybody here that has helped, appreciate it. Those that are continuing to help, also appreciate it. Remember, these are our communities, and nobody else is going to do it for it. So we appreciate that. So that said, next is the finance report and the claims for 2016. Need a motion on that, please.
Move that we approve the claims for February 2016 in the amount of $123,089.85.
I'll second. There's a motion and a second. Mr. Ripe.
Normally this time of year it's a little bit slow, simply because it's difficult to do a lot of the construction that's going on.
It's 9.
Yeah, when the wind chill is below zero. So some of the bigger items that we're dealing with right now are a lot of the things that you can do at the office, design work, and of course our favorite subject, crediting. So With that being said, $35,000 for Dawson to help us with crediting. Well, we are progressing with in-dot credits as well as land credits. $9,000 or nearly $10,000 for the ribbon parcel, which we got kind of demonstration for last meeting, as well as a parcel acquisition. We have approximately 40 or so parcels that we need to still acquire, either Floyd easements and some levy construction easements for just over $10,000, well, which is all good and credible and will help us in the long run. There's a claim here for $6,800 for USPS, which is our match for our stations that we are now in control of. And beyond that, just small, normal rent, computer service, and some miscellaneous. We did some work, helped out with the Chase Street cleanup the other day, so, or not, last month, I should say. Any specific ones, I'd be glad to.
Back to the board. Any questions for Mr. Repay on these invoices? Remember what it was like when we had no money? All right. There's a motion and a second to approve the claims for February 2016 for $123,089.85. Mrs. Lambert? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Next, we have the executive director's report, which I think last time I checked is Stan Repay. Mr. Repay.
Thank you. In, I guess, motions or in other issues we're going to deal with, tonight we are starting the process of actually doing some work to help with the inspections, as well as make the levee and the system safer. Number one is the seal for the concrete walls, mainly between on Hawthorne and Wicker Park, which is what we're failing. We put out proposals. We have three bids that we will have to open later on. The second phase is the videotaping and cleaning of the culverts and gate structures in Highland, Munster, Hammond, and the NDOT ones, which are at the I-65 94 corridor. These are required every 5 years to be cleaned and videotaped. We clean them on an as-needed basis, but this is just a once-and-for-all clean so that we can start with a clean slate. And these are some of the older segments of the system. We've done this already in Gary North, Gary South, and Burr Street, so this would just complete everything that we need to do. The final one is the Lyman Avenue manhole rehab, which are the manholes that we've already completed off of Broadway. This is the second component, which are the Lyman ones, which run between Lyman and Manor. I believe there are four of them, if my memory serves me correctly. The next phase of this, which we'll do probably the next meeting, we'll go out for proposals, which will be for the ones on Chase Street. Chase Street, they run from 35th Street north all the way past the river to just about the overpass of 94. And that would complete the securing of all the manholes that are within the levee, which caused us some difficulties back in 2008. And as recently as 2012, we had some issues with the manhole, which what happened is the manhole's surcharge, it pops the lid off, the river flows in through the manholes and basically through the levee. So this will hopefully solve that problem. The sandbar project has been a little slow. They've been able to do some work. They were out there again today doing some work, moving some of the earth around, and they'll hope to finish planting that in the springtime when you can plant the native grass and everything that needs to happen.
Is that the only thing that then is left outstanding is planting?
From the previous, they're doing some earthwork out there. If you go by on Kennedy, they're doing some earthwork that's moving around, but they're trying to finish that up, level it, and then they're gonna be ready to plant here soon. So now the ground is frozen, they've gotta work between it being frozen or it being too much rain. So what happens when you work inside the river? Currently, right now, we have contracts being advertised or projects being advertised, at least they were the last two Mondays, for the Georgia Street construction project, which is the one raising Georgia Street to come over and at least meet the level of protection as well as levee paving, which is the paving of the tops of the levee in certain areas, mainly in Highland, some in Hammond, none in Munster. So we'll be opening those bids next meeting. Beyond that, like I said, we're doing a lot of crediting work, a lot of paperwork, and a lot of preparing bids for other projects, pump stations, you know, grass cutting. We'll have some more coming next meeting.
Any questions for Mr. Ripe? How's the ribbon project?
It was a great idea to do the ribbon.
Explain what that is real quick for those that are just rolling in here.
Well, last meeting we had the ribbon demonstrated to us. What we are doing is taking every file that we have, putting it on the computer, the GIS, to make sure that we have in fact either own it, have an easement to it. We know.
And it connects.
And we know through our discussions with the Corps, they knew for the course of the project that we were missing some. You know, that happened back in the early 90s and 2000 when they were acquiring property, mainly in Gary. Whatever the reason, we were missing them. So we know that. We're trying to acquire those with our attorney's help. But we also have identified some other holes that may have slipped past someone's thought process, that we have to make sure that if we have a pump station, we have the proper access to get to that pump station. So we're identifying some of those as well. So when I say 40 or so, there's some are going up. Some we have found in the files that the deed existed, it was agreed to, but never was recorded. So we actually found the deed that was executed between both parties. The parties still exist today. No one put it down to the recorder's office. Well, that's what we're doing a step. So it's a big mop we're trying to clean up of these issues. And this is what you do
in the bucket, right?
This is what you do in the wintertime.
I agree. All right, any other questions for Mr. Ripe? Either not, moving on, just blazing the trail here. Other issues, new business.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, it's time to spend some money, and I'd like to make a motion to authorize our executive director to open bids for the flood wall joint ceiling replacement and repair work, and award project to the most responsive, lowest bidder, any review by our attorney and staff.
There's a motion, is there a second? And second. A second, any discussion? Yep. Do we have to vote on this, Mr. Wicklund?
You're going to take it under advisement, is that what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So the motion to approve subject to ban and all of this.
Yeah, that's what it was. Are we going to have to vote on the motion?
Yeah.
Yes. All those in favor of Dan opening this up to spend some money on fixing things, say aye.
Aye.
I was opposed. Giddy up.
And what I'll do is, I'm sure there's some folks that are in the crowd that are wondering at the end when there's other business, I will announce the bids at least informally as to what the numbers are. They're not formal until we can all look at them, but at least to give some idea of what these things came in at.
Cool. I don't know, he's going to tell us. This is not the first time he did this, is it?
No. It's a very case of duct taping.
Hey, pardon me. Oh, faster.
Yeah, you can just keep going.
Oh, okay. All right, so that one's done. Any other new business?
No. No, goodbye.
Sure. Next item, motion to open bids for culvert cleaning and inspection and award to the lowest and most responsive bidder, pending review by the attorney and staff.
Second. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion on this one? Either none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? This one passes as well. How are we doing on opening up those bids, Dan?
Great.
Excellent.
You need a letter opener? Better than getting out of that door.
Alright, moving down the list. David, I got you next.
Okay.
Motion to open up bids for a bumper cleaning and inspection and award to the lowest and most responsible bidder. Opinion reviewed by the board and our staff.
Chuck Colbert.
Colbert.
Not Chuck Colbert.
No, it's the man only at Motion to open bids for alignment, manhole rehab, and award to the lowest and most responsible bidder. Opinion reviewed by the attorney and staff.
Motion, is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. This one is Lyman. There's actually, over by Lyman, inside of the levee, there's manholes that are inside of the river. But this is going to help resolve that. So, any other discussions on that? All those in favor of getting that resolved, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Giddy up.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move to authorize the executive director to advertise and solicit bids for electrical repairs to the Burr Street South Pump Station here.
Second. Motion and second. This one is, we just got back from Gary Sanitary, one of the pump stations that are critical for what's going on over that section of town. This is going to be able to provide some of the repairs that are needed to take care of that. So, with that said, motion and a second. Is there, all those in favor say aye. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Discussion.
So when we got these pump stations from the Gary Sanitary District, we identified some issues. We have to sort of compartmentalize some of them. Flight pumps are privy and they're, I guess, proprietary. Thank you for them to fix. You can't, outside vendor can't fix them, otherwise you lose the warranty. So that's going to be something separate that we're dealing with Flight directly. The electrical is something that can be done this way. And then we're going to have some certainly vacuuming out and dealing with some of the trash rack issues and then also the fence contract. So this is one of them. The second one will be Grant Street West, which we'll probably deal with when we can finalize the agreement between both parties. So this is one aspect of the fix to ultimately get the levy segment certified in up to satisfactory condition.
But this is just for the electrical work?
Correct.
Right. Actually, I would like to say something too for the public's benefit. This issue had a lot of commissioner healthy and lengthy debate about how we went about doing it. I think it's a tribute to just us each and being independent. We have a contractor who does maintenance for us, and we got a bid from them to do all of this work on the pump stations, $450,000, and then we thought that's a lot of money, and highlighted the fact that half of that, 200 or so thousand, is proprietary, so that's sort of separate, and we debated that we should bid it amidst a significant concern that, you know, about protecting Gary, or that part of Gary, because it took us a long time to get these pump stations from the city of Gary, and they are in very poor condition. So I just wanted to tribute the commissioners for standing up and, you know, making a statement about how we operate.
Yeah, just to clarify, I think it was a budget proposal for the repair costs, not a...
An actual, good point. Yeah.
Anything else? All right, all those in favor of getting this moving along, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion that passes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to make a motion to authorize the executive director to advertise and solicit bids for the levee grass cutting, as we do every year, from Holman Avenue to Central Avenue. Holman is obviously the far west part of the levee, and Central is Central Avenue and Gary or Marshalltown Avenue, the eastern edge of the project.
Here's a motion to cut the grass. Get somebody to help us with that. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Dan, tell us, with everybody out here, there's a certain part of the project that can fold into this grass cutting. Can you kind of outline that and the premise of that challenge?
So that motion is to take care of the larger portion, the portion that has the 3-to-1 slope ratio, which is a lot easier to mow using commercial means. The segment from Holman to State Line, it was, as we talked about in the work studies, that, you know, we had the city built it, and we sort of had to try to retrofit that levee, and so the slope ratio is not as gentle. So we have to do a lot of handwork in that area. It's not easily to be bid out with this type of stuff, because what you'll find in these, in this bid to cut this grass, will be a lot of companies that are probably used to larger swaths of land with some bigger mowers than you'll find in a smaller portion. So that's the easiest explanation I can try to come up with as to why we have to separate that last piece.
How does the state take care of their right-of-ways with mowing? Is that a government service, or is that an outside contract?
Outside contractors. Actually, the person or the company that we have currently that handles our things that are under contract for 2015 is the same company that does NDOT. So it's easier, well, it's not easier, it's what we try to work with, is we try to work with NDOT to know when they're going to cut their interchanges, we can get a better price to cut it, because what they'll do is just come off the expressway, and as you know, our levees are right adjacent to it, so they'll just come off the interchange. You'll see them parked on the, you know, whatever, on Kennedy Avenue, on Grand Street, on Broadway, and they come through. So yeah, that's the company we have now, but certainly maybe we can get a better price.
Anything else for Dan on this one? There's a motion and a second. All those in favor of going out and see who can give us a good deal of cutting the grass, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Next, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the Executive Director to enter into an agreement with the City of Holbrook for the initial design of the Wisconsin Street Bridge in an amount not to exceed $150,000.
Second. Motion and a second. Mr. Rupe.
The idea behind this is, and those people that were at the meeting last month when Colbert did the presentation, they initially asked us for a considerable amount of money. I think it was $3.8 million. What this does will help them design Wisconsin Street Bridge, while the commission, who also authorized at the last meeting, the ability for SEH to look at the railroad structure that is truly the largest obstacle in this whole water situation. So in the event that it is determined that the railroad can be fixed, or the situation, the culverts underneath the railroad can be fixed, or it cannot be fixed, we don't want to delay or stall Wisconsin Street from being at least at minimally started. So if this $150,000, what we'll do, we'll start the process of designing it, and hopefully at the time that $150,000 is complete, we'll have a good understanding of what's going on with the railroad, and then we can make a better educated decision on what to do with Holbert and their application as a whole.
Any questions for Mr. Rupe on this one?
So our involvement strictly is a financial commitment to the City of Holbert for $150,000?
Correct, and they'll contract with the engineer themselves. We'll be the simple reimbursement. We're familiar with the type of agreement that we have to accomplish.
And do you know if they've selected a design firm or somebody, an engineering firm, to start the process? Or how long after we, you know, authorize the expenditure that it's going to take to start the process?
I believe they have entered into an agreement with an engineering firm. I don't have it firsthand, but we got the numbers from an engineering company through the City of Holbert.
So it'll be quick.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Rupe or statements on this one? You know, we spend a lot of time on this just for everybody's edification, because, you know, let's not lose sight of the fact that there's pictures of what happened to Holbert in there. Although this isn't going to help resolve some of those, it's going to help as it relates to moving traffic around as we continue to work on Deep River as an overall part of its own watershed that hasn't had much attention as it pertains to the big picture in, well, ever. So it's pretty extensive. So that said, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion carries. Any other new business?
Last bit of business I see on my sheet, Mr. Chairman, is to make the motion that we approve mileage reimbursement for the Little County Veterans Basic Development Commission in perpetuity at the allowable federal rate.
Oh, good. There's a motion and a second. What's this one, Mr. Repay? You get paid for this? Come on. It's not enough.
Well, last time...
$11. Thanks for playing.
Last time we did this motion, we were too specific. We specified an actual penny amount or change amount as to what the federal reimbursement was for mileage. So if you were to travel 5 miles, it was, what, at one point, was it 56 and a half? 57. You have to ask your other. It was 57 cents. But since the federal guidelines changed back and forth,
This
just helps us with State Board of Accounts to make sure that we are reimbursing at whatever mileage is correct. And currently, right now, it's at 54 cents. See? Always look to her.
Well, it's nice to see the Fed is looking to save a few pennies.
Well, gas price is $1.33.
All right, there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. We've had the discussion. All those in favor of this big one, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Any other new business going down the line, Mr. Whitaker?
None.
Mr. Castellanos?
None.
Mr. Rudnick?
Negative.
Mr. Gazdecki?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Wyszlinski?
Nothing.
Mr. Wicklund?
Nothing.
I'm going to take 1 second. Everybody, we lost another member of the group that helped us all through the process since 2008, not too long ago. B. Hannison? Passed away. Bea and her son Craig were very much involved in the process since the flood and going down to Indianapolis and helping get the funding necessary to the O&M. So please keep her family in mind and say a prayer for that because she was a cool lady. All right, that being said, favorite part of the deal, statements from the floor. Mr. Repay, you have something?
I was just going to announce the unofficial numbers so far of the bid cap tallies. Unofficial because it's me and I haven't checked with my attorney. So,
okay.
For the.
Start which one now first?
This is for the seal, the
flood wall joint sealant replacement and repair.
Correct. And this is just in the order that I opened them, it's not in any particular order. So, that is for this one, it's Gary Up was one bidder. They bid $37,000 even. The next bidder was Hassey at $26,500. And then the other bidder, the final bidder on this is Grimmer Construction, and they bid $22,500. So that's unofficial for that one. For the next one, which was the polymer cleaning and videotaping, we had two bid proposals, one from Acton, and what we did was we separated them into four different sections: Highland, Munster, Hammond, and then Indot. So I'm going to read four numbers for each company. For Acton, Highland was $43,500. For Munster, $21,500. For Hammond, $70,230. And for Indot, $37,600. For Green Line, Highland $40,430, Munster $17,105, Hammond $65,310, Indot $32,655. So those are unofficial numbers for that.
And you mentioned the company's name was Green.
Green Line. Green Line actually, yeah, and they actually had experience with them. They actually did the work on Gary North. They were a sub of, I believe it was Hassey.
And who did the grip deep tow?
That was a special operation out of Rose Lawn. Because of the depth and the length of it, they have to do it a different way. I mean, Acton was a sub on that one, but the videotaping was done because it was a confined space and you couldn't really necessarily put a human down there with the way it was set up. So So they videotaped it, I think, through a remote control vehicle.
Spielberg.
Yeah. So the next one is the Lyman Avenue manhole rehab project. First one I have is Oros.
How many bidders?
There was three bidders. They bid at $57,540. Gary Up was $48,700. And Grimmer was $35,640. So those are unofficial. Like I said, I don't know if they have all the documentation. I was just looking strictly for the numbers. And we'll confer back and forth along with Garcia, who put the specs together. And we'll if those are all in order and in good shape, then we'll award it and have the lowest bidder then proceed with the work.
All right, anything for Mr. Repay from the board as it relates to that exercise?
All this work will be commenced as soon as weather allows.
Correct. Because all of it is related to inspections. Culvert cleaning is inspections. Lyman is something just for better protection and for inspection. They do look at the joints of the current ones that are sitting there. And then the water, the sealant is important for the inspection as well. So that'll be weather permitting as well.
Cool. All right, before I do the floor, Ms. Mills, nice to see you. Anything to state to the group? Natalie is with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Good evening. Here's the deal. We're going to be meeting this Friday. I've invited Dan. We're having a kickoff meeting to discuss Hobart Marsh mitigation and the hammer tieback work. We're looking at schedules right now, so I'm looking for feedback from Dan and the team just to ensure that we're both tracking the same schedules. So right now we're looking for a contract award sometime this summer for the mitigation and the hammer tiebacks sometime a little later, sometime this year, but still within this fiscal year. So basically that is where we're going to talk about the scope. We're going to talk about schedule, we're going to talk about budget. And so once we have all that ironed out, of course, we'll present that to the board. We don't have all that information finalized yet, but when we finalize it, then we'll share with you all, just so you know what we're planning and doing.
Federal fiscal September 30th, 30 September.
Correct.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
One question. Time and place.
It's Friday. Okay.
Friday, this Friday.
Friday, yeah.
Okay.
Dan's just gonna call in 9 o'clock. You could.
We got mileage.
You could come.
I'm just gonna call in
and see. Any other questions for Ms. Mills? Either none. Favorite part, statements to the board from the floor if you want to help us, chastise us, talk about our mileage reduction. Please step up to the microphone, state your name and address for the man, and let's go. Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Ruth Morris from Southmore Road. And last month I had to ask a question if the Thornton Ford Reservoir was utilized during the high water times in December. And I want to let you know that I did find out an answer. I want to thank Lori Zelno for putting me in touch with Deborah Shore, who is a commissioner at the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District. I posed the question to her, and she forwarded me on to one of her staff members, Kim Horvath, and I got an answer from him. It's quite interesting. I'll read you a little bit of it. I won't go into too much detail, but it'll give you a little background, especially a lot of the people that don't really realize how the Thorn Quarry affects us as Little Cow. Although what I was speaking to them was the western branch, which would be from Hartstitch over through Illinois, and I think we realized too that that part is attached to the Illinois system. Water doesn't know the boundaries and it goes toward Illinois, and the question was, does our water go into the Thornton Quarry? His answer is, the Thornton Reservoir is designed to take in approximately 3.1 billion gallons of overbank flooding from Thorn Creek, which is in Illinois, and about 4.8 billion gallons of overflow water from the deep tunnel in Chicago. Thorn Creek flows northward towards its confluence with the Little Cal River, so it's unlikely that the Little Cal east to west flow would be entering the Thornton Reservoir directly as overbank flow. That's, of course, in heavy water. Much of the increased flow in the Little Cal simply follows the waterway's normal path into the Cal Sag Channel towards its convergence with the Chicago Sanitary and Ship Canal, the Des Plaines River, and all the way down to the Illinois and Mississippi Rivers. When water does, however, flow over the banks of Little Cal, it sometimes enters sewers, which might discharge into the local waterways and back up and cause basement flooding or enter the deep tunnel system. Therefore, while the Thornton Reservoir is designed specifically to reduce, therefore, while the Thornton Reservoir is not designed specifically to reduce flood levels in the Little Cal, it may provide some indirect relief. The Thornton Reservoir provides relief to 14 communities in Lake County: Blue Island, Chicago, Lansing, Burnham, Dixmoor, Markham, Riverdale, Calumet City, Dalton, Phoenix, South Holland, Calumet City, Harvey, and Posen. So that was his detailed answer. My answer back to him was, I thanked him for the information and I said, I think I get it. The indirect relief for the Little Cal comes from the short portion that flows west toward the Illinois communities that the reservoir protects as part of the overall river system's flow. Is that correct? And I actually said, is that a good non-engineer answer for us mortals? And his answer was, yes, that absolutely sounds correct. So it does have an indirect help in when there's heavy rainfall to it. So it doesn't directly flow into the reservoir, but yes, it takes the overflow. So I did want to let you know the answer for anybody that wonders if it goes westward into the Illinois communities and if it is served.
Thank you for that follow-up. Further, did he indicate if they opened the gates when they utilized it? Or?
He didn't really say, although there was some discussion with Deborah Shore earlier in that, and she said that there had already been water in it that hadn't yet come out from the last source. And as the water goes in, they can't really tell if it's new water or old water, but they are utilizing it to the point of, yes, it's in operation.
Thank you.
I do have one other thing that I want to mention on a different subject. A couple months ago, I contacted Dan. We had had a lot of unauthorized vehicles that were entering the vacant lot off of 173rd that parallels Lyman, that goes back to the bike trail and back to the underpass and eventually crosses over where the levee wall is. And I contacted, well, in fact, I went to the Board of Public Works, asked them if they could get some kind of closure for that. Because it is open to the public, there was a lot of trucks going back there, motor trucks, and just making a lot of problems. Yeah. And one of the things that they did one time is they went all the way back, crossed over the bike trail, and went over into the levee, just buzzing around inside the levee. That's where I got Dan involved. So right now, the Board of Public Works, Hammond, has authorized Gary Gleason, who's the head of the street department, to put a closure in there so that they can't get in from 173rd. NIPSCO still has to get in there because they've got lines back there. But NIPSCO works with Hammond. If they need to get back in there, then they will have the closure available for NIPSCO. But that should solve the problem of people getting unauthorized vehicles getting back there. And I also mentioned to them, too, at the Board of Public Works, that because you're going to be paving the top of the levees that are over there, they're on the Hammond side of the bridge, that's going to make more traffic. So that's another reason to have that closed off on 173rd. And I got verification today that as of tomorrow's Board of Public Works meeting, everything should be authorized to go ahead and close that off.
Great, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Lori. All I'm on the floor is to get up in hand. I'm a little confused. The 4th Avenue, the vetting of the 4th Avenue closure, the state line closure, I feel like it's pushed backwards. Is there going to be more done in addition to just vetting those blocks? Are we going to have to make changes? Are we going to be adding? I was kind of under the impression that the Corps was going to simply look at the design of the blocks, the testing that's been done, and the demonstration that we could close the headways and certify those blocks as okay-dokey. And now we're talking in September of 2017.
Is that part of what's happening on Friday, Dan, or Nelly? Into the...
My understanding is we met with Mr. Rochford. We have to make a connection into the Forest Avenue levee as it ties into the block walls. And I think they have one other suggestion, and that was what I understood to be the problem that needed to be corrected. Because if you remember, we couldn't tie into the Forest Avenue levee because of the Rivers and Harbors Act. So there was some sort of, not compromise, but a thought went through that to connect it to the blocks. That's all I know that needs to happen. Maybe there's been more discussion, and that's what I'll learn Friday.
I am concerned with the Army Corps that brought the River and Harbor Act of 1899 to my attention. I have read the River and Harbor Act of 1899. It's
I love you all.
If you have insomnia.
You got a spare few minutes, football's over. And it did state that.
That's funny.
There's only two people that can allow you to tie into a levee, and one of them is the Army Corps, which, after bringing it to our attention, then said they didn't have the authority to do that. So I am hopeful that we are moving forward and not backward.
Was the other one? President Garfield or
You bet. This has been an ongoing subject, Natalie, so I mean it's...
So in the evaluation, we are looking at also the blocks are currently at the 100-year level of authorization. So we'll be looking at that as well. So whether that's going to be around sandbags at the top or applying for something at the top, that has to be evaluated as well. So we'll look at that. It doesn't come out of the time now.
And just so everybody knows that, if you could maybe help me out, the blocks currently designed with a 100 meter elevation are higher than the levee in Illinois. Is that a true statement?
Right, it's going to have to be 1 foot. Well, I think it's.
So we're going to raise it up higher than the 100.
Right.
But it'll never even reach the 100 because by the time it gets to the 100, it'll already be overtopping in Illinois. Yes. Just so we're all, you know, working on this industry.
And just so that you know, the first couple hundred feet of the levee is actually at 200 year plus 3 feet. That is the area easily described as the area that has a little detention pond. So that is designed at 599, which is the elevation that we need to achieve. It is only when we go further, which is I think 170 help me.
Sorry.
Lori.
172nd.
Which is?
The end of the pond.
Okay, so 172nd going north is only where we're at 100 feet, but at that elevation, it's above 597 and some change, which would theoretically by the lay of the land would force water going to the west. So, but it's, they still gotta achieve 200 years plus their.
Gotta check all the boxes, right?
My understanding that we couldn't drill those to 200 years because we couldn't intentionally flood our neighbor.
That is correct. So the problem was, under state guidelines and an agreement between Indiana and Illinois, you can't purposefully put water on your neighbor, but you can protect your property, which is.
So this is a line of protection for flood water that goes along a geopolitical line as opposed to the flow of the water. And we're trying to achieve this because the Hammond residents that are over there are still the last of the Mohicans, pardon the pun or the analogy, to have to pay federal flood insurance. So,
But we also have the ability to protect us, being Indiana, have the ability to protect our residents from flood. And so that's what probably has to be achieved here by figuring out a way whether sandbags is the best thing, putting a piece of bar on the top of it, backing it with sandbags. However, it needs to be achieved. It's sure better than laying 2,000 feet of sandbag of what we were initially had to do. So we'll figure that out and hopefully we can do it.
And we did ask the question a lot of times, making sure that maybe our neighbors would help us and maybe do some things over there so we wouldn't have to do this, but this seems to be the only path that's available to us right now. Cool? All right, thank you.
Just, yeah, sorry while you're still up there. I think I agree with Lori in this case though. I mean, you talked about two projects, over marsh mitigation. I know it's a big long story and also, you know, tying back into the levee in West Hammond there. And we're moving forward faster on over mitigation. It seems like this is almost low hanging fruit that we could get with the levee and these people have been living, obviously, you know, consistently, you know, representing their community, their neighborhoods, and waiting a very long time for design that just never seems to end. Is there a way that we can expedite?
I would love to expedite, but I don't know if it's in time right now. I don't say we're doing it in July and I don't know if we're doing it in.
And maybe to Lori's question, are you doing, performing a design? Because, I mean, we don't, it's built. There is no design. It's, right.
And I thought the understanding was, the whole premise of this flood fighting down the state line was get rid of these 2,000 sandbags?
Well, 2,000 feet.
2,000 feet of sand.
30,000.
So we're not flood fighting in this huge monumental task. So.
Right.
Now we've got the sections that are open that have to be flood fought, and then that little piece that butts up against the existing levee that we left short, basically on purpose. Because of the harbor, rivers, whatever.
To basically tell, or talk on behalf of Nellie or on behalf of the project is this, there is the tie-in that needs to be dealt with, which I think is easily accomplished. You tie it in with clay and bank bit, put a design and tie it into the existing concrete structures we have out there. I think the issue is gonna be, can we achieve 200 feet with the blocks that are out there at the 100 foot level without it tipping, tilting, pushing? And if not, then what is the alternative to accomplish that to get to 200 year level? Otherwise, they have to go get reauthorized in Congress because that's not how the project was done. So we have to work between two things. One, their authorization, and two, the agreement between the state of Indiana and Illinois saying, I'm not gonna flood you and I can't put more water on you. So if that block can stand the test of not tipping at 200 year, if we put a couple, like 1 foot of sandbag on it, because I think it's 9 inches is what we really need to achieve, then we solved it and it's a lot quicker. If it doesn't stand the test, then we gotta figure out a way to, either we have to backload it with something to force it not to be able to tilt. And that's probably where, and I'm not an engineer, but I'm imagining that's where this is gonna go on Fridays.
So that is the order of magnitude we're talking about, 9 inches plus or minus?
I think it's 9 inches of, or to get to 200 year plus freeboard. Okay. It's still above the level of them, but that's what it's really looking at right now.
Now, the issue with regards to the individual properties that are still in that area that have paid flood insurance, is that the 200-year level or is it 100-year level that FEMA will...
FEMA's 100, but I'm certainly not going to speak for the Corps, but the Corps has to certify the tieback to be acceptable before they can start, or AMA can start, the process to get FEMA, petition FEMA to have them removed.
So the issue between these property owners, yeah, I understand, but the issue between the issues with property owners and FEMA is protection to the 100-year level. And our issue is with regards to the actual levy is the 200-year level. So we're mixing the two together a little bit.
Okay. I thought at some point we were going to attempt to modify the agreement to give us relief on the 200-foot or 200-year elevation for the tieback. Is that not, that kind of fell apart?
Well, it's sort of going consecutively. That's a 408 that they're thinking about doing, which is a petition. But if you...
I don't think the tieback is the issue. I think it's the north end of the block.
It's the north end of the block, which ultimately is a full tieback. The 408, though, by doing the 408, you have to then petition, and I'm not going to tell you a verbal standard, but I think it has to go to division. It has to go through district, then the division, then the higher headquarters to get approved. So if we have to run them consecutively, or if that is a long process, if we can get this... Basically, I had a full set of hair before the thing. So if you could do it, if we can achieve what we need to achieve through this meeting on Friday and find out some reasonable solutions that are quick, I would love to do this. And if we have to participate as a commission, I'm not going to speak for them, to expedite as far as engineering or design, I think they'd be willing to do that. Without putting them all on the spot.
But so just real quick, who on your side is participating? Who are the players, right? I mean, we're talking about Friday, 2 days from now.
Yeah, so
are designs already out there on the table? Are there ideas on the table already?
Ideas that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So, you know, the roster. So we've got some thoughts on how
to quickly
move.
Right,
okay. We haven't been discussed at all. So
this is sort of brainstorming plus. I mean, Bill has just some ideas. Nobody else has any. You know, nobody's presented something, and the core people haven't already read and reviewed, and they're going to come in and decide. It could happen. A decision. Okay.
I met with Bill out on site last month. Before our meeting last month, I met with him out on Forest Avenue and said, here's what I think, as opposed to run an entire levee from Mrs. Panera's property all the way back, which would have been 200 feet, here's what we can do here, this is what we can close this up. So I'm assuming that he took some of those ideas and applied them and took them through his special folks, and he's going to report back whether I'm half crazy or all the way crazy, right?
And then we'll design together and we contract it out, you know, we'll determine how we're going to do this.
Making spaghetti Friday. Throw it up against the wall.
It's fish day Friday. Thank you. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
What do we get started? Mushrooms.
Good evening, Sandy O'Brien. I live on William Hulbert. I am sure thankful for Hawk Balance getting situated so that the 4th Avenue, the tieback, and Albert Marsh can proceed. Boy, I never heard such a complicated issue of those block things. And all the ramifications on one side and the other for that. I don't know how you satisfy everybody. But anyway, I'm sure glad to see that things are moving along. Thank you so much for the commission's effort in hiring Dawes and Associates for Dawson. They've been really helpful, it seems. Thank you, Natalie, for the core end of things. Great. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, I'm not supposed to wait very long. I'm just mad at me. So, anybody else? No? All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. The next meeting is going to be Wednesday, March 9th. March means spring, theoretically, but this is the region. So thanks again for everything. Motion to adjourn. So move second. Thanks, everybody.